Well, good evening. Nice to see you all. This evening, we have a single verse for our Bible study. I know Jeanette read the whole passage to give us the context, but we're looking tonight at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So let's come to God in prayer and ask him to help us as we look at his word tonight. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we gather in your presence this evening and we acknowledge our need of you. We pray that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit and speak as your word is preached. Come, Lord, and shed light in your precious word. Come, Lord, and apprehend our hearts and minds as we look at this wonderful verse. As we continue to ponder the majesty and the mystery of union with Christ. Father, we know that we don't need to hear from a man, but we do need to hear from your word. And we believe that when your word is preached, your voice is heard. So come now. Come and speak through your word. Come and soften our hearts. Come and give light to our eyes. Come and enliven our minds that we may hear your word. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm sure we all enjoy receiving something new. That new car, as you step into it for the very first time, and it has that new car smell, the perfection of the interior, the smoothness of the running. It's new, it's right, it's just as it was intended to be. There hasn't been enough time for dents and scuffs and scrapes and failures to mar the newness of it. I remember many years ago getting a brand new car, long before pastoral ministry. They don't come in pastoral ministry, sadly. But a long time ago, a brand new car. I got it in November. And over the Christmas, there were massive storms. And in the job that I did at that time, I was responsible for local authority emergency planning and response. And I'd been out all over Christmas for days on end, dealing with flooding and storm damage and getting people rehoused that had been flooded out of their houses, dealing with all sorts of problems. And I got home late, very late, kicked off my shoes, fell into the armchair, ready to relax, when I heard a huge crash and my porch roof had blown off and landed on my two-month-old new car. It wasn't a good night. The insurance company sent it away for repair and I got it back. And then just a couple of months later, in the March, I ran right into the back of another car at the Raith Interchange. It wasn't my finest first few months. Let's just say the newness of the car wore off very quickly. It accumulated damage and fault far quicker than I had intended. We love something new. A new car, a new house, a new phone, a new jacket. But the newness doesn't last. No sooner do you take possession of it than it's no longer new. Tonight, as we continue in our series called Union with Christ, we're looking at a union that makes new. A union that makes new. Hopefully, if you're with us regularly, then you'll remember that on these Sunday evenings, we're exploring the doctrine of union with Christ. You know, normally we pick a book and we just work our way through that book section by section so that we understand the book in its whole context. Over these past few months, we've been doing something different, trying to look at a doctrine in a bit more detail, and we're looking at this idea of our union with Christ Jesus. The New Testament alludes to this union that Christians have with the Lord Jesus Christ more than 200 times. It's been suggested that our union with Christ is the hub or the center of the Christian life, with countless vital elements coming off out of the hub like the spokes of a wheel. We think of our justification or our adoption or the sanctification that we experience. It all flows from our union with Christ, from us being united with Christ. Now, as we explore this wonderful reality of union with Christ each week, we've been looking at different aspects of it. Our union with Christ is one single union, but each week we've been looking at different aspects of it. We've been looking at it from different angles to try and help us to grow in our understanding of what union with Christ means. Peter launched the series reminding us that we have an eternal union from Ephesians 1. God chose us from before the foundation of the world to be united to Christ, to be in union with Christ. And then Brian took us through Romans 6 and showed us how that union is rooted in historical events, the historical events of Christ's life and death and resurrection, and how that was key in our redemption. And then I took us through Colossians 2, and we caught a glimpse of the fullness of the union, the completeness of it, the expansiveness of it. And then Michael showed us how it was a cross-shaped union. And last week, Peter demonstrated how it was a union that's worth boasting about. Tonight, we see how it is a union that makes new. A union that makes new. Now, before we get to the verse, we need to understand a little bit about the book of 2 Corinthians, or Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We need to understand a little bit about chapter 5. So let's get that background and context in place. Many of you will know that Paul founded the church in Corinth and had ministered there for about 18 months. If you want to read about all of that, you can find it in Acts chapter 18. But after he left Corinth, serious problems grew up in the church. Life was very messy in the Corinthian church. There were cliques and power struggles. There was immorality and there was a wrestling over rights. There were marriage problems and theological error. It was all there. And Corinth was a large and cosmopolitan city with people from different backgrounds and different cultures. And the variety in society resulted in variety in the church. And that caused a number of divisions. In response to all of these problems, Paul wrote the letter that we know of as 1 Corinthians. So despite Paul writing 1 Corinthians, trying to correct a lot of the problems that there were in Corinth, it looks like things got worse. And Paul and his ministry and his apostleship were under severe attack from many of those who lived in Corinth. Analyzing 2 Corinthians, Ralph Martin goes through it all and tries to list out all of the implicit accusations that were being made against the Apostle Paul. He summarizes it like this. It seems like they accused him of vacillation, pride and boasting, lack of success in preaching, physical weakness, rudeness of speech, deficit in rhetorical skill, being an ungifted person, dishonesty, posing as a fool, and a lack of apostolic standing. Above all, he was held to be a deceiver and a charlatan, a blatant denial of the power of the Christian message. Wow, that's some list of things that they were criticizing Paul for. No wonder he tells us in the letter that he feels as though he was burdened beyond strength with all of this coming at him left, right, and center. And so he writes this letter to Corinthians in this difficult situation. And in the first half of the letter, he is very conciliatory, trying to build bridges and make connections and address a lot of these accusations. But in the second half of the letter, he's very combative and he seeks to be kind of firm and authoritative as he challenges some of the things that are going on in Corinth. And it's in this conciliatory section that we find this teaching on union with Christ. And our focus, as I've said, is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this wonderful verse that we're looking at, it itself, it sits in a context. It sits in the context of chapter 5, verses 11 to 21. That's why Jeanette read that whole section for us, so that we can see where this little diamond that we're exploring tonight, that we, so we can see its setting. And we need to get to grips also with the immediate context. If you've got your Bibles open, have a look at verses 14 and 15. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, because there we see the controlling reality. Christ's death changes everything. The controlling reality, Christ's death changes everything. Look at the verses. For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. The controlling reality is that Christ's death changes everything. He died that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for their sake and was raised. Now, hopefully, if you're tuned in and thinking about union with Christ, hopefully you can see that even here we have union language. He died, therefore all have died. We live, but not for ourselves, but for him. This is union language. The controlling reality is that Christ's death changes everything. The love of Christ controls us. The second thing to notice about the immediate context is the new perspective. Union with Christ changes how we see things. Look at verse 16. From now on, says Paul, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. From now on, he's saying, because the love of Christ controls us, because one died for all, therefore all died, because we no longer live for ourselves but for him, from now on, we no longer regard others according to the flesh. We've got a new perspective. Union with Christ changes how we see things. Union with Christ changes how we see people. And then, let's skip over verse 17. Verses 18 and 19, we see the new work of God. Reconciliation through Christ. Look at verse 18, it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. And then the last wee bit of the immediate context, verses 20 and 21, the new role for believers. Because of all of this, we have a new role, ambassadors for Christ. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So that's the immediate context. But our focus this evening is on one verse, verse 17, the new reality. Union with Christ brings about a new creation, a union that makes new. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so with all of that background and context in place, let's notice firstly that union with Christ gives us a new identity. Union with Christ gives us a new identity. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, to be in Christ is to have a new identity. Do you remember when we were in Romans 5 in our morning series, we saw that everyone ever born is either in Adam, descended from Adam, or in Christ. Do you remember that? And we learned that being in Adam is where everyone starts, and that to remain in Adam brings death, but to be in Christ brings life. Consider all that we've been learning in this series about what it means to be in Christ and how being in Christ gives us a new identity. Remember way back in Ephesians 1 where we saw that this union is an eternal union, and that to be in Christ is to be someone who was chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. To be in Christ is to be eternally loved by Father God. It is to be redeemed by the Son on the cross at Calvary, and it is to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit at some point in our lives when our eyes are open to the glories of Christ. And that's a whole other identity. And you know as well as I do that identity is a big issue for people today. People are all looking for identity and looking to state their identity and claim their identity. How many times do you hear people say, as a, and then fill in the blank yourself, as a teacher, as a member of the Black British community, as a wheelchair user, as a, fill in your own thing. These are all identity claims, because identity is important to people. Another phrase that's become important in our society today is, I identify as, fill in the blank. The idea that we construct our own identity, that we are free to choose and select our identity over and against everything else. In a congregation as diverse as ours, there could well be many competing identities. How do you identify as an Indigenous Scot, as an Iranian, as a British Asian, as an African, as a young person, as an old person, as a young pastor, as an old pastor, as a student, as a refugee? What is your identity? We need to realize that union with Christ gives us a whole new identity. We are in Christ, someone loved from before the foundation of the world by the Father, someone for whom Christ died on the cross, someone who is regenerated and sealed and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is of far more significance than any other identity category. As we look at Harper Church family, we are so different on one level. From 40 different nations, a dozen different ethnicities, many different cultures and social backgrounds, different ages and experiences, and yet we are one in Christ. We share the most fundamental thing. We are brothers and sisters together in Christ. Union with Christ gives us a new identity, a foundational identity. Is that how we truly see each other? We are fairly diverse tonight, but if you're here in the morning, you can see it's diversity flowing over diversity. But do we see the divisions, or do we see our union in Christ? Do we see the separations, or do we see that we are one in Christ? Do we see the distinctions, or do we recognize that we are fundamentally joined together through Christ? Union with Christ gives us a new identity. Notice, secondly, that union with Christ makes us a new creation. The verse says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What does it mean that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation? I think that what it means is that we are participants in the resurrection life of Christ Jesus. We are new because we have died with Christ, and because we have risen with him and are born again in Christ. Therefore, we are a new creation. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. We've seen this in the past few weeks, haven't we? Remember, Michael was teaching us a couple of weeks ago in Galatians 2, and in that passage we saw, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. There is a death and a life here. Crucified with Christ, death with Christ. I no longer live. The old self is gone, but new creation. Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, a new creation. In Colossians 2, we saw that having been buried with him, that is Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. We saw also in Romans 6, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In all these different passages, with all these different pictures, we find that those of us who are in Christ are something new. We are new creations, and that new creation arises through our participation in the resurrection life of Christ Jesus, because he is risen, we are risen. As new creations, there is no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. As new creations, we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed. The slate is white, clean, eternally. Did you notice that verse in that wonderful song? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. What a verse. As new creations, we possess the Holy Spirit of God, who is with us, who is for us, who leads us, who guides us. As new creations, we have a God-given purpose in this world, in these lives that each of us are living. We are new creations, no more in condemnation. And here in the grace of God, we stand. But you know, as the years in the Christian life roll on, it can be easy to forget that this is who we are. To forget that we are new creations, that our life is in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a danger that we fall into living the old life, that we fail to live in light of the new creation reality that is ours. Thirdly, we need to remember that union with Christ produces new life. Again, our verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The phrase we're focused on here is that last part of the verse. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old person has passed away. The new person has come. The grip of sin has passed away. The new freedom in Christ has come. God has reconciled us to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given us the message of reconciliation. He has made us his ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. Union with Christ produces new life. It's a new life that is characterized by the Spirit of God, where we learn and yield the fruit of the Spirit, where we live in the gifts of the Spirit. It's a new life, free of condemnation, guilt, and rebellion, and offered daily as an offering of worship to God. It's a new life with new priorities. Our priorities are Christ-shaped and kingdom-driven. We live to the glory of God as ambassadors for Christ wherever we are, whatever our context is. It's a new life which is orientated to the eternal, that looks forward to the day to come. It's a new life of faith and hope and love. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Consider your own life for a moment or two, won't you? Think of the aspects of the old life that the Lord has set you free from. Think of the new desires that he has given you. This is the result of the union that makes new, a union with Christ that transforms and makes new. Union with Christ produces life. And this is one of those diagnostic questions that we sometimes come across in the Christian life. One of those questions that reveals the reality of your profession or otherwise. Union with Christ produces a new life. Are you living a new life? Union with Christ produces new life. Are you living a new life? Are you living to new standards? Are you living with a new love? Are you living with new hopes and dreams? Are you living with new priorities? Are you living in a new direction? Union with Christ brings change, brings fundamental change, brings real change, brings spiritual change. Now, of course, we haven't grasped all that this newness involves, because this newness goes way beyond this world. There is a day coming when we'll have a new world, when we'll be in new bodies, when we'll worship in the new creation, and the fullness of what it means to be a new creation will be experienced by us. And yet, even until then, union with Christ brings change. Fundamental change, real change, spiritual change. We love something new, don't we? New car, new house, new phone, new jacket, but the newness doesn't last. No sooner have you taken possession of it than it is no longer new. But that's not the case with new life in Christ. As in Christ, people are made new one at a time. That is but the first fruits of a whole new redeemed cosmos. This making new proceeds, grows, continues, and will one day encompass the whole cosmos in the new creation yet to come. The union that makes new, makes newness that never tarnishes, spoils or fades. It lasts, and it lasts eternally. Union with Christ gives us a new identity. We need to consider our primary and fundamental identity. Is it the identity of being in Christ? Does that shape us, control us, motivate us more than any other competing identity? Union with Christ makes us a new creation. Are we participants in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what we are if we are in Christ. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There is a divinely created newness about us that nothing can tarnish or destroy. Union with Christ produces a new life with new standards, new loves, new desires, new directions, new priorities. Brothers and sisters, wonder at the marvel of who you are in Christ. Wonder at the marvel of who God has made you to be, indwelling you by His Holy Spirit. Child of God, give thanks for that union that makes new. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful little verse. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, behold, the new has come. We rejoice and marvel that for many of us that is our reality. We are in Christ. Christ is our identity. Christ indwells us. We live for Christ. We long for Christ. We praise Christ. We pray, Father, that you would help us to appreciate the wonder of this union with Christ, the union that makes new. We ask also, Father, that for any among us that don't know Christ as Saviour, that you would reveal yourself, show them your glory, that they too might be new in Christ. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.